Alan drew a dirk, which he held in his left hand in case they should run in under his sword. I, on my part, clambered up into the berth with an armful of pistols and something of a heavy heart, and set open the window where I was to watch. It was a small part of the deck that I could overlook, but enough for our purpose. The sea had gone down, and the wind was steady and kept the sails quiet, so that there was a great stillness in the ship, in which I made sure I heard the sound of muttering voices. A little after, and there came a clash of steel upon the deck, by which I knew they were dealing out cutlasses, and one had been let fall, and after that, silence again. I do not know if I was what you call afraid, but my heart beat like a bird's, both quick and little, and there was a dimness came before my eyes which I continually rubbed away, and which continually returned. As for hope, I had none, but only a darkness of despair and a sort of anger against all the world that made me long to sell my life as dear as I was able. I tried to pray, I remember, but that same hurry of my mind, like a man running, would not suffer me to think upon the words, and my chief wish was to have the thing begin and be done with. It came all of a sudden when it did, with a rush of feet and a roar, and then a shout from Alan, and a sound of blows, and someone crying out as if hurt. I looked back over my shoulder, and saw Mr. Shawn in the doorway, crossing blades with Alan. "That's him that killed the boy," I cried. "Look to your window," said Alan, and as I turned back to my place, I saw him pass his sword through the mate's body.